Latchkey Sibs, the podcast that challenges three siblings to take a look at our childhood movie cabinet in one film at a time, criticize or defend the viewing choices we made as kids. I'm your host and the middle sibling, Allegra.
I'm Holland and I'm the oldest.
I'm Gray and it's a minivan.
I don't remember that
Iconic.
Quote.
Iconic?
It's when he hits the minivan and he just looks at it, he points, he goes, it's a minivan.
Oh. Okay.
My first LOL moment of the movie was just how he said that.
Okay.
All right. First of many, because it's such a great movie that I'm so glad you all understand what a cinematic masterpiece and, like, hidden gem Paul Blart Mall Cop truly is.
I know you're joking, but we'll get into scores.
Yeah, we will get into scores. I found this movie very interesting.
That's a great vague word for it.
Honestly, so much more, like, such a much stronger and charitable word than I would have used. So I'm here for it.
Allegra, were you sober when you watched this?
Stone cold.
Dude, you should not have been.
It was 8 a.m.
Oh my God. You had the white knuckle Paul Blart.
I don't have any weed in the house. Wait, Josh hasn't spoken this year.
That sentence can go so many different ways. I would like to retract it officially.
I was knuckle deep into Paul Blart.
I don't like it. Well, I guess before we get too into the weeds, I'll tell you what we do here, people. Each week, one of us has to present a movie to be critiqued while the other two score it based on five specific categories. Each week's score will be added up, and at the end of the season, the sibling with the most points wins, while the loser will be forced to do some kind of punishment. This week, as we have mentioned, we're talking about Paul Blart Mall Cop, to be defended by Allegra.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah.
Legheads, yeah. I feel your support every day. It makes me stronger. It allows me to get through movies. I do it all for you, Legheads, Leg Nation.
Oh, okay.
Leg Nation?
I want to give an update for all the Gray Lords out there. Gray, your Remember the Titans score did get a bonus point. So.
Oh, fuck yeah.
There you go.
Did basketball?
No, I stayed the same.
Okay, so that brings me up to 83.
But you counted mine, right? Because I voted on behalf of Josh. He wanted to give basketball a point.
Yeah, I did, but I still didn't. I think the movie was just too bad.
People were like, no, it got what it deserved.
Yeah.
Did Nick vote for it?
I don't know if he saw the poll.
Aw, yeah. Nick, listen, buddy. Like, basketball needed you.
It's okay. Hey, as long as I didn't lose one, I'll take it, you know? Gray, I gotta say, I did not realize this was a Happy Madison movie either. But I guess I should have known.
Was.
But
of course it was.
I don't know.
Kevin James was in it.
I know, but he's not always in Happy Madison things.
Yeah, but this was like peak Kevin James with Happy Madison era.
That's true. 2009.
Yeah, I'll give a little rundown of the movie. So, Paul Blart is a mild-mannered man who works as a security guard in a New Jersey mall. For years, he has applied to become a cop, but he always fails the physical exam because he has hypoglycemia and tends to pass out when his blood sugar is low. Yeah, not a great trait for a potential officer of the peace, quote-unquote peace. One day, a gang of organized criminals put the mall under siege and take hostages. Blart becomes trapped inside and, because of his sense of duty, refuses to leave. He thus becomes the police department's eyes on the inside and attempts to stop the criminals on his own.
All right.
You know what my favorite piece of trivia is that I get to say right here?
Yes.
This movie came out on our birthday.
It did?
January 16th, 2009.
Happy 17th Holland, and 15th, or 12th birthday. Sorry, my math.
Yes, Holland was 17, I was 12, Allegra was 14.
Wow.
And yeah, it came out MLK weekend and...
A January release.
We did not see this in theaters.
No, we did not.
I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've seen it all the way through.
Yeah, I feel like I like watched it at a friend's house one time. And I gotta say, I did not, it was like watching it for the first time yesterday, though, because
yes,
I did not
was,
remember
like, the
a
only,
lot of it.
The only parts I remembered, and I didn't remember this for my pre-watch, so I'm not giving anything away, but I like once it was going, I was like, oh yeah, he like passes out from low blood sugar and he rides a Segway. Like, that was about all that stuck in my brain.
Yeah.
Everything else was brand new. But yeah, let's just kind of dive in. Did the parents have it? There's no way they
no
fucking saw
way.
Dad hasn't responded to me, but I'm guessing he hasn't seen it, and Mom said she hadn't seen it.
Like,
so
the only chance is that Dad was just watching live TV and
it
happened to
on.
Put it on, but I cannot imagine Dad would have left this on for that long.
Yeah, I texted them I texted them at like 11 a.m., so, and it's 2:30 now, so I'll let you know if Dad responds during the course
sure.
of recording, but I kind of don't think he's seen it.
Yeah. Well, then let's just dive right into pre-watch. I'll start. It's very short. I definitely watched this movie alone, probably on a random weekend when I was home alone when I was in middle school. All I remember is his Segway, and there's a robbery in the mall, and he saves the day.
Yeah, mine is Kevin James as a mall cop. Hijinks ensue while he has to stop something bad from happening. Does he have a Segway? Really don't remember anything about this movie.
I feel like I saw the first like 10 or 20 minutes once and then turned it off. My biggest memory is that like I was 14. So this is like peak Edgelord Allegra era. Like, I definitely had opinions on movies at this point. And I remember feeling like, oh, I'm not going to see Happy Madison movies anymore. Like, they definitely suck. And I remember Gray and I seeing the trailer together and being kind of shocked that we're like, was this trailer actually kind of good? And then whenever it came out, Gray was like, yeah, the only good parts were in the trailer. And I was like, okay, noted, I'll never watch this.
Interesting. Okay. Well, should we get into scores?
Certainly.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure time has only been kind to this movie, you know, like a fine wine.
Okay.
For nostalgia, I'll start and I put a 3.
I have a 1, because I truly, I remembered 0 of this movie except for, like, maybe the Segway.
You're not even going to give a point for Woman from Glee's chunky belts?
Yeah, for me, a lot of the heavy lifting for this 3 is just purely, I
just
remember the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe I can be argued up for... Maybe you can get one more point out of me for that.
I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can.
Sit through ability, I put a 6.
I have a 7.
All right, no notes. No notes.
I gotta say, I did not hate this movie. Like,
yeah,
I know.
I had fun.
Me too. Me too. Like, I was shocked at how much I was actually laughing.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Which will, I guess, will lead into the next category. But I also recognize that the weed was doing a lot of heavy lifting.
That's
for
fine.
Me.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's legal.
But
both in the world, in the state we live in, and also for this
for the
podcast.
Score. Yeah. So I got it. Like, And I did temper my scores because when I initially did the scores, like right after watching, I gave it an 8, and then I was like,
"Whoa, you can't!"
Actually, no, I got it's not. I didn't actually have that good of a time. I was just in like the after, like
the afterglow,
like the peaking. Yeah, I had to be a little more realistic.
What about when we did basketball and we said the sit through ability score was sacred and you should be honest about it?
It's because I was like, it had just ended and I was so happy. And then I had to, like, when I
that it was ended.
Thought back on the actual experience, I was like, okay, I don't think I actually liked it that much, you know?
I don't know. It feels like after you give a Goodreads score, you go into the comments and let other people's opinions sway.
I didn't have anybody else's opinions except for my own. I'm allowed to lock in. Gray, what was your lol factor? LOL.
So my lol factor was a 7.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
See, this is another one that I adjusted. I'm a 6, but I did have a 7. So I can see this going up. Yeah, I can see this going up.
Does it hold up? I have a 5.
I have a 4.
And can I follow? I had a 4.
I had an 8. Because remember, we were like,
wow.
Does the logic make sense for, like, the goofy comediness?
Yeah, I think...
And I was like, I understood the whole plot. I got it. It was very... I thought it was a very basic plot. And obviously there are, like, things that were impossible and, like, whatever. But because we talked about how this is, like, can I follow this within the logic of the movie or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That's why mine was a little higher.
But... I'm happy to start our discussion here because that's what I was thinking of the entire movie. It's like the movie has its own definition of hypoglycemia. Is that how hypoglycemia works in the real world? No, but that's the world's rules.
That's the rules that they've created.
So yeah. I'm like parkouring... mall robbers, fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah. Oh, fine. My God. So I think sentiment with this movie, I wrote it down that, like, the movie is so lame that it swung back around to me finding it, like, charming.
Maybe that's why it became such a meme, is that exact sentiment right there.
Yeah. Sorry, Gray, I interrupted you.
No. I was just going to say, like, first of all, I agree. I want to talk about that specifically after this point that I'm about to make. But it is how hilarious that, like, somehow incredibly professional, organized criminals are like, here is our mission. We're robbing a bank that's inside of a mall.
Yes.
Like that is their target that they're going. They're like, this is what we've trained for. This is why we put this crew together. This is the moment we've all been waiting for of our lives as professional criminals. And it's to fucking rob a bank in a New Jersey mall.
Yeah. Like that. I feel like that type of situation, like, I couldn't tell if they were doing this on purpose, where there were so many, like, outlandish, ridiculous, stupid things happening inside the mall, where I'm like, are they doing this on purpose because they know it's funny, or is it I don't, at the end of the day, I think it doesn't matter, because I found it hilarious that yes, they were like these super spy, like, secret, like fucking Ocean's 11 people are robbing a mall in New Jersey. Like, I thought that was so funny.
One of, like, the only two malls in New Jersey with a Rainforest Cafe.
Oh my God. Beautiful use of the Rainforest Cafe. I gotta say, seriously. I loved it.
Did everyone else see that video of those guys who did the road trip all across North America to all the Rainforest Cafes? I did. Did they know that they were at a filming location for Paw Paw Glow Cop? Like...
Yeah.
Well, this mall that this was filmed in was actually filmed in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Okay. Then I don't think that Rainforest Cafe exists anymore.
I mean, I know a lot of them have closed.
So, I mean, to continue off that sentiment, these guys went even so far as to make code names of reindeers.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
That's another reason why I was confused about whether it was a Christmas movie or not.
It was because, Black Friday.
Yeah, like, Black well, here's Friday, the thing. I get it, but I feel like in America, for the, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't been in a mall in a really long time. I'm not in malls frequently, especially during the holidays. Do malls generally decorate for Christmas pre-Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pre-Thanksgiving?
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Yes.
I don't, okay, whatever. Yes.
100% they do.
100,000%.
And I think to help just kind of put this all into perspective, I think this is just, this whole movie is just Happy Madison's version of Die Hard. That's why it feels so Christmassy.
That's
because
the joke.
It's exactly, that's the joke, is like, it's Die Hard but with Kevin James.
With a mall.
But here's the thing.
And like,
okay,
I honestly, I
of
also
all
thought
of the flaws of this movie. Oh, I was just gonna say, of all of the flaws of this movie, of which we are gonna hopefully speak to all of them.
Oh yeah.
I will say that Kevin James is really playing his part well.
Yes.
He does such an amazing job, and his physical comedy is, like, honestly awe-inspiring. Like, he did so much of that shit himself, and you see it. It's him, like, actually toppling over a table at the bar. Him, like, actually doing the slides and the jumps and, like, fall. Like, he's really committing.
I think that
commitment is what makes this, like, unbelievably bad movie somewhat endearing.
And I think Kevin James is playing to all of his strengths. It made me want to watch Hitch, because he's also really good in that movie.
He's great in Hitch.
This movie was giving me Mr. Deeds vibes. This movie was giving me Ted Lasso vibes, where, like,
he's just a sweetie.
Kevin James's character is such a sweetie pie that, like, you want to root for him, even though this movie is borderline propaganda. But, like,
he refuses, like, to be a cop.
That's
in the
true
end.
That's true. That's true. Hey, Paul Blart says ACAB.
So here's the thing. It's like, I know we've watched a handful of, like, Happy Madison productions with Kevin James in it, and I feel like each time I'm struck by how much I don't hate him.
Exactly.
I'm like,
exactly.
I feel this movie is giving him nothing, but he is trying really hard to be, like, if it weren't for that Victoria's Secret scene with the blatant fat phobia.
Oh my God.
Which is, like, Happy Madison in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know, he is just he's like an awkward, but, like, loving sweetheart. Like, oh my God, I wrote something down where a teacher from Glee was like,
Amy,
you really know a lot about effects, Paul. And I'm like, same, brother. I also don't know how to talk to people except being like, did you know?
Okay, do you want to know what my first lol of the movie was?
Yes.
Where I literally cackled as I watched it. His Segway tricks video that his mom and
his
daughter want to put on his dating profile. I genuinely thought it was so funny.
Yes. And that also reminds me of another thing that I laughed out loud, but it was definitely not for the reason they intended for
it. Exactly. That's what most of my laughs were.
Yeah, like my laugh was like the ridiculousness, the audacity of them to make this choice is what made me laugh. Not the choice itself, but just the decision to make this choice.
Yeah.
That his daughter's mother.
Yeah. Oh my God. See, this was another thing contributing to this does not hold up situation.
Yes. It's just like, I was just like, what an interesting choice for the mother of his child to be like a random Mexican person who marries him to get a green card, has a child with him,
and
then abandons both of them. And then for them to just throw that in there is crazy. Like, it could have been so many other, any, it didn't even matter. He didn't need a kid in this movie. He didn't need a daughter whatsoever in this movie. No. If he had just lived at home with his mom and his mom was like, you need a girlfriend, nothing about this movie would have changed.
Correct. And the one, I would say the most egregious, if not only logical fail of the movie is his daughter getting into the mall without noticing the giant police SWAT barricade.
That's true.
She's just like walking in, That, I think, is a flaw in the logic more than anything else that happens in this movie.
Yeah, and it's like he already had the motivation to go back into the mall because he wanted to save Amy.
And he has his duty.
And he has the oath he made up that he made
Which
about
I
protecting
thought was
the mall.
Funny. He's like, he made his own. But that just shows what a great character he is. He has integrity. He is serious. When he's training the new kid, he is that like classic oversharer coworker where he's like, well, I do this and I know a lot about sharks, which is maybe my favorite line of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And how the second Vec came on screen, I was like, oh, hey, there's the bad guy. Like, it was immediate.
Even remember that.
It wasn't even like, oh, I remember. I was just like, look at him. He's a bad guy.
I didn't, but I was also pretty not sober when I watched this, and I also didn't remember what the conflict was going to be.
Were you shocked at his reveal?
A little bit. I was like, I mean, I was like, oh, that makes sense. But I was like, oh, yeah, I was just so locked in and in the moment. I was moment by moment, baby. I wasn't thinking ahead while watching this movie.
Then I have another question for you, and maybe a question for Gray. Did you think they were actually going to commit to the terrible blonde wig on Amy?
Yes. Yes.
It took me a while to figure that out as well. I literally wrote, here, let me see.
I was like, no fucking way they're committing.
I wrote,
to this
her
wig.
Wig is bad. It looks so cheap. Oh my God, like a styled shake and go. And then later, when she was wearing the other wig, I was like, oh, it's because it is a shake and go. She's literally modeling the wigs that she's selling.
It's
It took me a while.
It took me until seeing the
second wig,
the Liza Minnelli wig.
Yeah. It also took me way too long to realize that the pixie stick in his front pocket was for his hypoglycemia.
You thought it was just general fat phobia?
I thought it was just like, it's 2009. I don't know. He's just down in pixie sticks.
Just down in pixie sticks in 2009, am I right?
Honestly, even early, I feel like when I was in middle school was when like pixie sticks were popping off.
Yeah, there was a moment.
I remember in sixth grade, remember bangle bucks? Like, you would earn these little bangle bucks for doing a good job in school. And then, like, every Friday, you could turn in your bangle bucks for candy. And the coveted thing in the candy cart was always the giant pixie stick.
Yeah, the yardstick.
Yeah.
I have a question. I felt like
sugar. A yardstick of sugar.
Yeah.
That's just legal to sell.
That in the nerd's room.
Directly to children.
Yeah.
No interference from adults except for the people actually selling it. There's no parental control on that.
But here's the thing. Holland, you got way more junk food in middle school than we did, so I'm wondering how long that lasted.
Yeah, because we came into school right during Obama.
Like, Gray didn't get the cookies.
That's true. Yeah, I think, things started getting healthier when I was in eighth grade. And then when I went to high school, we still had soda in the vending machines. We still had, like, the cookies and the junk food in the cafeteria. And then I think the next year is when they cracked down at the high school. So yeah, I was like in the last gasp of shitty food at school.
I mean, it was still shitty.
I mean, it was great.
Know,
it was a great time to be alive.
But here's the thing. I got a lot of... Greg, did you get any fucking bangle bucks when you went to Rolling Hills?
I know. I wonder if that was even a thing.
I don't remember.
I only remember it happening in sixth grade.
Yeah, it was way more of a thing in sixth grade because I was like, did I become a shittier kid or did teachers stop giving a fuck?
Because I think it's because in sixth grade you only had like two teachers that taught all of your classes for the most part, aside from PE. And then in seventh grade you have like a different teacher every period. So they stopped doing that.
Yeah, anyway. I have no idea. I wanted to bring something up just to we're kind of still talking about Vec.
Yeah.
So he tried so hard to be
and got so far.
Yeah.
He tried so hard to be like the villain that chews up all the scenery. Like
yeah.
He's trying to be Alan Rickman in Die Hard. You know,
he
like
he should have put on a shitty German accent.
He started off strong. The whole time I was like, you can just tell this is what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working for me.
No.
He was just really bad. And I was like, I don't feel like threatened by this guy at all.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I remember like when it was first revealed and he was like kind of giving marching orders, I was like, wow, this guy has hammed it up. He is committed. He is trying to do it. And I was like, okay, I appreciate the commitment. But then as like the movie went on, I was like, oh no, he's lost it. It's not. Like, I feel like initially I was like, okay. And then I was just repeatedly disappointed by his performance after that.
I have some notes for the villain. One, his name should not have been Vec. They should have called him Chris, because then he would have been Chris Kringle, and yeah. like he would have been the Santa on his reindeers, and it would have made much more cohesive sense.
Or Klaus.
Yes. Two, I think it would have he should have committed to some sort of accent. really bring the diehard
like Hans Gruber.
It does not need to be good. Hans Gruber's accent wasn't good either, yeah. So I think it would have been fine. Three, I think he should have kept that little, you know, twinkle of endearment towards Blart. I think it would have been funnier if he had felt conflicted about it, and like maybe that's why Blart lasts as long as he could.
I agree.
Like, you know, Hans Gruber and Die Hard, they had like kind of a tete-a-tete.
Yeah.
You know, they had a back and forth. They had a little conversation before they met face to face. This would have been fun for him to be like, I took you under my wing, and like, we were friends, and like all the reindeer parkour villains could have been like, why won't you just kill this guy? And he's like, I'm working on it. But really, he's like, you know, he's like a father to me. Haven't you known him for like a week? I don't know. There could have been
something
else.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would have liked
That's a really good point. I think, yeah, because it just like, on both sides, as soon as like the flip happened, he just goes, kill him, and then Blart's like, I gotta stop him. He was never even taken back by like Vec. No, you know, like
because he stands up for him in the bar, right?
I think it would have been
guy from the league.
Oh my god, can we talk about the bar?
Oh my god, the bar.
The
bro.
Bar scene was so bad. Again, Kevin James plays it really well. But it was so bad. And here's the thing. He doesn't even apologize.
That pissed me off.
Yeah.
He like goes to her and he's talking blah, blah, blah. And he just keeps saying like, that's why I don't drink.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you didn't even say sorry.
He didn't even say sorry. And he also could have been like, I'm hypoglycemic. I like drank alcohol without realizing it, and then it like spun out of like we could have had a little bit more like
he starts the explanation but then doesn't finish it.
Because also like the way that it played out, he was danger drunk, like, and if that had happened in real life, his chances would have been over. If I saw a dude that I worked with who I met that day act like that at a bar, I would avoid him forever. I'd be like, oh, that guy is bad news.
Well, luckily, we don't know anything about this woman's personalities, likes, dislikes, interests, or history or backstory whatsoever. So we can just assume that's not a deal breaker for her.
She's girl. She's just girl.
She is nice girl.
She is nice girl. But
here's...
Oh my god, the fucking scene of them riding the Segway together. Meg just kept saying, are they fucking for real right now? Is this fucking real? Are they trying to pass this off as serious?
It's so good, though. That's like one of the best parts of the movie.
But when it was happening and the music was playing, I was like, why do I believe in their love?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was
the music of this movie.
Good.
The soundtrack of this
movie
was great.
Dude, when he started playing Kiss, I was like,
yeah,
oh
the
God.
Detroit Rock City on Guitar Hero was so good.
I was so into it. I was like, man, Kiss is so good. The soundtrack is good.
Okay, yeah. This is so fun. This reminds me of that a couple Thanksgivings ago. We were with Dad, and our stepmom hates Kiss and was like, he really wanted to listen to it. And she's like, please don't play it in the house. And so Dad, Holland, and I were in the car, and we were just playing a shitload of Kiss.
I forgot about
it
that.
It was beautiful.
What a weird line to draw. It's like, I can't have Kiss in the house. That's so random.
I think Dad had been playing it too much, and she was like sick of it.
Please stop.
Okay, totally makes sense. Right. I get it.
If I could script doctor a teensy tiny bit more, what's weird to me is, so it's like, this is the week of Black Friday, and like Friday is the big day where everything goes down, and I think the, like, based on the timeline, I think him getting drunk was like Tuesday. Because the next...
I think it was Wednesday.
No, here's the thing.
Okay.
He gets home, and I'm like, there's no way this dude is... It's the same night when he gets home and sees his daughter, and he's like, it's over. I was like, he would still be, like, crazy drunk if it was the same night. But he goes, oh, yeah, last night ruined it for me. Mm. So it made it seem like it was the next day. And then he goes to work the next day, and then maybe that is Thursday or Friday. So maybe, like, bar happened Wednesday, and then he did Thanksgiving with his mom and daughter, so he didn't go to work.
Yeah, it said Thanksgiving Day, and that's when he was sad.
Yes.
So I think bar was Wednesday, then Thanksgiving happened, then it was Friday when he was like, don't count me out, or whatever. Right?
What they should have done...
I did not fucking keep a coherent timeline of this movie.
I just realized, as we were talking about this, that it took place on Black Friday. So that's how out of it I was when I was watching this movie.
What they should have done is they should have invested more time in him and Vec bonding as buddies, and him getting a friend for the very first time, and it should have been
Vec being there when he gets the tattoo.
Oh my god,
the giant eagle tattoo on his back that's later revealed was, that was honestly a really good gag. Like, you get the little teeny tiny
tramp stamp
Loch Ness monster, and then when he falls down later and you see all of his back, that was a really good visual gag for me. That got me.
Greg,
that was an LOL.
Did you notice that the cop with the mole on his face was on the American version of Top Gear?
Yes, I do, because that's the only thing I know him from.
I'm just like, man, they also gave this guy fucking nothing.
Okay, also, speaking of the cops, weirdly, I was surprised that I found them endearing. And I liked how they, like, established the rivalry with the SWAT team. Also, I did write down all of the comebacks that the older cop wrote down on the piece of paper.
No, that was the security guard, the older security guard.
Or the older security guard, whatever. But, so
I just saw you and what army.
So, yeah, obviously he said, yeah, you and what army. And then the guy's like, he has an army. But the other ones were, don't quit your day job. You kiss your mom with that mouth. I'm rubber and you're glue. And jerk says what?
Also, okay, to just talk about that cop and that security guard, they're just okay with the security guard taking the cop's gun and shooting the guy.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, what an escalation. That is crazy that it's like, no. The security guard needs to be the one to shoot a man dead.
No, this is what's crazy.
Or no, it didn't shoot him dead. It was he shot the SWAT guy's hand.
Right.
But still, you just took a gun from a cop.
Maybe the cop,
I think,
will
I
cover
missed
for
that.
Him, saying, like, no, I totally shot him. Not this, like, delusional old man.
Yeah, yeah.
My weapon, my discharge. I totally did the badass hand shot.
My weapon, my discharge. Call that a Friday night.
Gross.
I feel like
we're forgetting the second best character in the movie. The Indian boyfriend.
Oh my god.
He ends up being important.
reminds me of Kevin G from Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I'm also, like, concerned. Is the daughter a teen?
Yes.
So I don't like anything that was going on with that guy.
I thought he
I mean, everything he was doing was horrible, but he was hilarious, and I love that they just, like, set it up to be, like, he's going to be the geek behind the camera for Paul Blart when they're, like, chasing them to the plane, to the airport. Right. Oh, I loved
it. No wonder this dad is upset with his daughter.
Yeah,
this
honestly.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my God.
I feel like we moved on from the segue too soon. I feel like
we need a segue back.
We got a segue back. First of all, I feel like having a segue in a mall would be dangerous. I don't understand.
It seems like he almost hit people or hit people all the time with it.
Yeah.
He ran into a van.
Also, do people... I'm like, the fact that he commutes with it confused me. I'm like,
yeah, that
surely
was weird.
You would just keep it at the mall and you would drive to the mall.
Maybe that's
maybe that's his
segue?
Yeah, it's his personal vehicle that he has. He's like, I'm hypoglycemic. I can't walk around all day.
But Vec had a Segway when he was taking him around.
The mall has Segways for their guards, and then he goes on.
He just has his own personal Segway.
Because his personal Segway didn't have the mall cop insignia pouch on the front.
Okay, I don't remember.
Yeah, he had two in his garage. He had one just leaning on the wall, and then the one that had the little pouch on it.
God, so many segues.
Listen, he's an eco warrior. When the garage door opens and it's nothing but him on a Segway and a second Segway.
Oh my God! Okay, can we talk about the part that I maybe laughed at the hardest in this movie? When he and the guy fall through the window into the ball pit, and then Kevin James emerges,
rises from the ball pit
already on his Segway.
Yes.
Did he hide that
thing?
I thought
it was so funny.
All right, we're not going to question the logic because it's so good.
It was great. I loved it.
All right, sounds like this is like an 8 level of enjoyment for you, Holly, and you're still laughing.
I mean, I definitely thought, like, I bet it was so nice to be able to film so much of this movie on a Segway.
Do people still ride Segways? Are Segways still a thing in 2024?
They're a thing for, like, tourism.
Yeah,
That's the only time I see them.
I can't remember the last time I saw, like, a Segway tour situation either, though.
I mean, we live in New York City.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to have them here. We don't even have bird scooter shit here. Like, yeah. That would not thrive
in this
environment.
I've seen Segway tours in San Francisco.
Okay, so they do still.
Like, around the park.
Have you guys ever ridden on a Segway?
No.
I've never.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that looking at Paul Blart's garage gave me a haunting feeling of what my future may look like soon. Like, not Segways, but not far off, you know, just e-bikes.
Oh, my God. You should get a Segway.
Oh my God.
You should get a Segway.
I do not think they're street legal, and B, I don't think they have a speed cap. I don't know how useful they would be.
You could jailbreak it.
I think I'll stick with like an e-bike, which feels way more practical.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I also thought it was interesting that in the first like when he's leaving in the first 10 minutes of the movie, he runs over a dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you know that old adage of cinema of always kill the dog? That really endears people
to
the
main character.
We don't know if it died. Segways, they stopped production in 2020.
Okay.
Wow. Another victim of COVID.
Wow. All
right. So,
speaking of victims, didn't the guy who invented the Segway die on a Segway?
That is correct.
That's why I'm on the Wikipedia page, just to get that info.
To confirm that.
So I had a little bit of fun thinking about this movie in terms of, like, I work at an institution that has security officers. We go officer, not guard. That's how we feel about this debate.
Okay. I don't actually know what.
Guys, I just want to clear the air. The inventor of the Segway is still alive and well.
Oh, it's just a rumor.
It was just a rumor.
It was a rumor.
I'm just gonna look. Dies rumor. Let's see here. Oh wait, hold on, hold on. James William Heseldon.
Segue.
Former coal miner, he became wealthy by manufacturing. Hold on. In 2009, he bought Segway.
Okay.
And then died in 2010 from injuries sustained falling from a cliff while riding his own Segway.
Okay,
so
I remember that.
It wasn't the inventor, it was the guy who bought Segway Inc.
Okay.
This dude was an OBE. Wow. He had an Order of the British Empire.
This is giving like Titanic pod vibes.
Guys, you remember, who told me this? Who sent me the video that Zach Brown, the team principal at McLaren, made all of his money winning Wheel of Fortune in the 70s?
I think I probably sent that to you.
That's wild.
Yeah.
He won Wheel of Fortune, it funded his racing career, and now he's been in sports, racing sports ever since.
Yeah, that's insane.
What a fucking boss.
I was going to say something.
Detect, deter, observe, report is the evil version of Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Lose. That's one of my notes.
Oh, yeah. Security officers. So as I said, I was stone cold sober. I had fun thinking about, as someone who works in HR, who deals with colleagues in who are security officers. I had fun thinking all the ways that Paul Blart would have been fired. It should not count against the logic of this movie. It should not count against followability, because as we established, there's a goofiness level that this would not have been applied towards. But you know, just for fun, fighting a customer.
Oh my god, that entire.
Oh my god,
inventory.
Crazy.
I'm like. What part of you thinks that insulting a woman is going to resolve the conflict? Like, I don't understand. I thought, honestly, it was very out of character for Paul.
Very out of character.
Paul Blart. If anything, I wanted him to be like, solidarity. I also am discriminated against for my body type. Like, surely we can come up with a solution for this, or like, I have no idea. Like, I hated that entire.
Like, you don't need to push a bra to impress some man. You're beautiful the way you are.
Yeah, or something. And that has to be harassment.
Did anyone else?
You
know
are
an
a
assault?
Father of a daughter, sir.
Exactly.
It's very out of character. I choose not to consider that comment canon for our PBMC. But did anyone notice that the other woman who also wanted the bra was in the track video game as like the random sexy track flag waver?
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was like,
oh, I did not notice that.
No, I did not notice that.
Which leads me to the second thing that would have gotten him fired, abandoning his post to play in the arcade.
Yeah, I was confused about that as well.
He was just feeling sad and just wanted to relieve some of that tension by locking the arcade and playing while also kind of out of character, abandoning his duty. But I'll give him a pass because he was feeling really down about himself.
Feeling really down and was like, you know what? Why not? That one I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. That one was less out of character in my eyes. One other character that I really want to just bring up, which is the pen salesman.
I was literally just about to bring him up.
Obviously hate him.
He's like a comically terrible douchebag character.
Yes.
The worst possible person.
But, oh my god, but he also does have one of the best line deliveries of the movie, it was another scene, I had to rewind it because I was like, what the fuck am I watching? I just don't understand what's going on. And it's when girl goes into the bank right before the heist happens and just like sees him in line and he just looks and goes, yeah. Like, he doesn't say like sup, he just goes, yeah.
Another one of his lines that I thought was hilariously bad was, I can't remember what he was responding to, or I think he was maybe like insulting Paul Blart's like vehicle or something, but he said, and I just bought a Camry so you can eat me. He says it at the bar at some point.
That's
my quote would have been.
Because he was like, dude, you sell pens at a mall, and he's like, yeah, and I just bought a Camry
so you can eat me.
Oh man,
I'm not going to lie. I did not laugh out loud a single time in this movie. But
what?
I smiled and I thought like, oh, I didn't laugh, but I liked that line. When he goes back, he first sees Amy and like runs into the minivan. And then he comes back later and she's like, are you the guy who ran into the minivan? And he's like, I don't know. And which one? And she's like, that one. And then he's like, oh, yeah. I mean, and she's like, oh my God, are you getting in trouble? I can't remember the exact set of lines that led to this one, but he goes, yeah, oh yeah, they're docking the paycheck pretty good. And that one tickled me because this man cannot be making that much money. That's probably
no
devastating
way
for the paycheck. I also, as someone who works in HR, know how absolutely brutal and annoying it must be to have to process payroll on Thanksgiving week. Oh, that must have sucked. That's just for me. Creepy guy did have another good line. When he was inviting girl out to the bar that night, he goes, we're going to split some onion strings.
What?
Yeah, what a good non sequitur.
I'm just looking at my notes.
I know, I took a lot of notes.
I think it would have been funny if he didn't recognize her without the wig.
Oh my God. Okay. You know what is like borderline torture? Locking somebody in a tanning bed that is on?
Oh my God. Yes.
But hey, turn it off, bro.
It definitely got a giggle out of Meg when he put the little like shades on him though.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that was
triggering.
Brutal.
I was like, turn it off. Jeez.
Not trying to tell you super cool villains how to do your jobs, but maybe a little less parkour and a little more use your guns that you have.
How are you supposed to know that they're professionals if they don't do parkour? Like,
yeah, I think the logic of the movie dictates they must do really sick ass parkour.
Oh my God, the way that the fucking segue jumping across roofs.
Like, oh my God, I know.
I cannot believe that they went for that. But that also made me laugh because it was so silly.
Listen, hon, you seem to still be enjoying the memories you shared with yourself last night. Are you sure that sit through ability score couldn't go back to the way it was? I don't know.
Also, I didn't get why it had to be her birthday. Why did it have to be girl's birthday?
Because they didn't make a
character. Because he needed to get the birthday card. Completely missed that it was her birthday. So when he was trying to get into like the birthday card store, I was like, why are we doing this?
I said, Paul, I wonder if now is the time for this.
I was very confused.
I think it would have maybe been.
Also, if fucking Vec has a PJ and the funds to like whisk hostages away to the Cayman Islands. I mean,
oh my God,
why
right?
are we robbing them all?
I mean, how much are they going to get from this mall? Like $60,000?
I know, he said like $3 million. I was like, $3 million?
In a mall bank?
In 2009?
Like, Jersey?
Like, I don't fucking know, man. It's like the only mall in America that isn't like just half abandoned. So maybe it's pulling a lot of money in for Black Friday. But even in 2009, I feel like a lot of the fucking sales are online. Like,
I will say, I also did love when Paul Blart like calls Vec and is like, I'm going to be your worst nightmare. And is like, I'm coming for you. He was doing his like gravelly voice.
Doing his Bruce Willis voice.
Yeah. And was just like, yeah, I'll do that. Oh, yeah, I'll meet you on the corner of Neh and Ver. Like, oh. It was so stupid.
I want to bring up another, just like a completely random quote, not related to that at all. But it was when the SWAT team showed up, and he goes, wait, Paul Blart? He goes, hey, Paul, remember me? I set you on fire at the Pancake Festival.
First of all, Pancake Festival? He just goes, hey, Jimmy.
Also, I didn't see the SWAT guy being in on it either. That took me by surprise. Bobby Cannavale, who I do find attractive, but anyway.
He's great in Nine Perfect Strangers.
Ugh, woof about vinyl, though. Am I right? Who remembers that show?
I didn't ever watch it.
That HBO failure.
No idea.
Oh, another thing that that would have been an option for me had I done the quote, "Scuba Dooby Doo."
Oh yeah, that was bad. That was really.
That was his kill exclamation in the Rainforest Cafe.
As soon as the heist just like started, that portion of the movie started, this movie immediately went from like, yeah, this movie was targeted for like 12-year-olds to like, yeah, this movie feels like it's targeted for like 7-year-olds. It like really took a dip.
Yeah. Yeah. I also found it unrealistic that one of the people would be distracted by like a moving action figure for long enough for Paul to like knock them out or whatever.
That was one of those things where I was like, I didn't laugh, but I did enjoy that when his eyes go wide and then he attacks. I thought that was good.
Also, I didn't appreciate, I can't remember who insulted him for liking peanut brittle, but I was like, what's wrong with liking peanut brittle?
I think it was just a really, really bad fat joke.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just a fat joke.
I think my first note of this viewing experience was, I'm anticipating a lot of fat jokes.
And they're not good.
No.
Also, what a time in history when cell phones were a thing, but like not every, it was still like kind of okay that he didn't have one. It was like, oh, come on, man, you gotta get one. But it wasn't like, what the fuck, you don't have a phone at all?
Yeah.
What are you, some sort of freak Amish guy?
Yeah, because I was confused like when he like drove her to her car and she was like, oh, let me put my number in the phone.
Yeah, she was like, let me give you my number. I'm like, bro, why are you being all bashful now?
And I was like, why don't you just put your number in her phone, though?
Yeah.
Because he don't have a phone.
I mean, you could still, I mean, I guess, yeah, he can't text her.
You could be like, oh, I don't have a phone. Here's my home number.
Here's my home number, yeah. It's clearly not that uncommon.
I prefer handwritten sentiments. Looking through my notes, I think it was Rudolph, and I just wrote skateboards threateningly as he was like chasing people out of the mall.
That guy was psycho. He was the first gunman.
Yeah. I'm just like, bro, not a single one of these like mall robbers are wearing masks.
That guy was also not a good actor. Like when he was being chased on the roof, he was like, yeah, I'm gonna get them. Now I know the first person who I'm gonna kill is like that guy.
Well, because he's
not great.
He's not an actor. He is a former professional skateboarder who has a podcast/radio show with Tony Hawk.
Stacy Peralta.
Oh wow.
I have a little trivia thing about him. It's nothing crazy, but. Great. Yeah, he is definitely, it's just one of those things. He's not a fucking actor, and you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was the longest 91-minute movie I've watched in a while. I did enjoy it, but the heist scene just went on for so long. Like,
I did,
it definitely could have been shorter and not half the fucking movie.
Yeah, I did. I was frequently checking how far into the movie I was, I will say. Even though parts of it did make me chuckle, it wasn't like a, oh my god, it's already over situation.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'll just say this. I'm so excited for the next movie we have to watch.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
Should we do final scores?
Yeah. And then,
yeah, I think we should do final scores.
Okay. Yeah. Nostalgia, I have bumped up to a 2 for the 2009 of it all.
Woman from Glee. A couple
I'm
happy Madison
it,
faces and cameos.
Yeah. I'm keeping mine at a 3.
Yeah.
I never watched Glee.
Sit Through, I'm keeping at a 7. Because while I'm like, I had some high highs, but I also had some low lows. And I think the fact that I was like, frequently checking like the time, I don't think I in good conscience can actually make it an 8.
Yeah, I'm keeping mine at a 6. I honestly, I'm keeping all my scores. Lol factor, I'm keeping at a 7.
I moved mine to a 7.
Okay. Hold up, I'm keeping at a 5.
I'm keeping at a 4.
And Can I Follow, I'll move it from a 4 to a 5. But it's still, even within the confines of this movie, it is a useless security guard stopping a bank heist from perceived professionals.
Yeah.
Holland, don't listen to him.
I'll move mine to a 7.
That's ridiculous.
I'll move mine to a 7.
That's ridiculous. Sure, it's an unlikely story, but lots of movies are unlikely
Allegra,
stories.
I have given you such good scores, considering what this movie was.
I think Virgin Glee Teacher deserves to bump up Nostalgia to a 3. The amount of Glee we watched, Holland, she should be her own point.
She's not her own point. She barely makes an impression in this movie.
1 point for having seen this movie before, 1 point for it being 2009, and 1 point for Glee.
No, Glee and 2000. Glee and 2009 are the same nostalgia for me.
I'm going to give a bonus point to the creepy Indian boyfriend just because I did find him hilarious, even though he was problematic. Problematic King.
I'm just going to give a bonus point to Kevin James. Like,
yeah,
just knocking it out of the park, I think. Which I really, was
honestly,
not expecting to say
yes.
before I watched this movie.
He really did, like,
yeah.
He did a great job.
He was great.
All right, now that the scores are finalized, I can let you know that I felt like I just watched TV static for 90 minutes. This movie was so nothing.
It was so nothing.
It was nothing, but...
With that being said...
I had a good time.
It is...
I had a positive experience.
The fourth highest rated movie of this season.
Okay.
4 out of 7.
Yeah.
It comes in at a 55.
That seems fair.
That seems very fair.
That seems very fair. Yeah. Okay, 55. I was a little worried we would be skewing it a little higher than it probably deserved, but I think 55 is like...
Yeah. It's well enough
mid. Exactly
so
mid.
Exactly mid.
Wow. This movie was our first movie from 2009.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to give a little bit of trivia, box office, all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. So, came out MLK weekend on our birthday. Budget was $26 million. Box office, $183 million.
Oh my God.
It ranked number one at the domestic box office with $9.8 million for opening day.
Jesus.
Wow.
During the film's 3-day opening weekend, the film remained at the top spot, grossing a total of $31,832,000.
What?
With a outgrossing its $26 million budget. It grossed $39 million over the entire 4-day MLK weekend for a 4-day, blah, blah, blah. All these averages doesn't fucking matter. The film was the second best opening of all time for the MLK weekend, only behind 2008's Cloverfield.
Wow.
What the fuck?
It opened.
I guess this must have been when like Happy Madison still had like
clout,
some cachet. People still trusted Happy Madison.
When did Grown Ups come out?
I think 2010, right?
Grown Ups was 2010. Yeah. So this was when they were still like, yeah, people still trusted them.
Although after
the
Chuck
film
and Larry,
closed,
I do not know why.
It closed May 25th with a final domestic gross.
What the fuck, January to May?
That's a lot.
It closed
time.
With a final domestic gross of $146 million, with the 3-day opening weekend making up 21.75% of the total gross.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane.
So I think that's why, like, if you take out fucking $39 million. This movie still makes over $100 million.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's insane.
I'm shocked. Now I'm just shocked why it took so long to make a sequel. Because isn't the sequel come out like 6 or 7 years later?
It came out in 2014 or 15. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is a delay.
So a little bit more trivia. Two of Kevin James' real-life family members are in this film. The karaoke singer is his older brother, Gary Valentine.
Okay.
And the woman with two children who Paul helps, his wife.
He just hands a crying child a bag that was right in front of him, and he stops crying, and the mom just goes, "Thank you." I was like, what?
That's his wife.
I don't remember. That's
his wife? Oh, my God. She's very pretty.
Yeah, the kid is his wife.
Were the children their children?
I don't know. So Jason Ellis, the bald tattooed skateboarder, actually has a radio show on Sirius XM, the station Faction, and had a spot in the mall where he could continue to do his show while the movie was being made.
Wow.
By the time this movie was released in American theaters, there were no longer any Sharper Image retail stores, which is where he gets all of his gadgets.
Oh, interesting.
Of the movies from Happy Madison Productions that Adam Sandler co-produces without also acting, this is the most successful and the only one without Sandler on screen to reach over $100 million.
Wow.
So this is the most successful non-Sandler Happy Madison movie. Film.
I don't remember this being this big.
Me neither, but maybe we're just
I just
not
remember it being a really big
meme.
Yeah. I don't know.
We just went out the audience for this movie.
I guess so.
The score over the opening credits is an almost direct plagiarism of the score to Con Air.
Okay.
Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars, praising the film's, quote, wholesome comedy.
Wow. Okay. What the fuck? Ebert, what?
Crazy.
The fat phobia is such a good influence on children, you know?
Wow.
Oh, Holland, let me get the coin.
Oh, baby, do you know what that's worth?
So it's the same coin. Here, let me open up Skype so I know that it's in camera. Okay. Tails. Heads.
Okay.
All right. Call it in the air.
Okay. Choke. Tails. No! No!
Heads.
I haven't gotten a good one yet!
Two flips in a row where you guys say tails and it lands on heads.
God damn. That's why I said tails, because I'm like, last time.
Tell
me what's on the freaking wheel.
The remaining movies are Vampires Suck, The Ugly Truth, Joe Dirt, Are We There Yet, and Master of Disguise.
Ugh, those last two.
I still don't want to watch Master of
Disguise. All right, we're spinning the wheel.
I still really don't want
to
watch
Master
of Disguise. Oh, I'm so upset. I still want it. I'm so scared. Don't you fucking... Yes!
Are we there yet?
Literally the two that I didn't want were like the only options at the end.
I know, you were so close to getting Master of Disguise, and instead you got
Are We There Yet?
I was pooping myself. I was like, no!
This one's gonna be so annoying.
This movie's gonna suck.
I'm losing this season. Oh my God.
I mean, our cousin Carly really likes the punishment idea.
She said, don't do the hot dogs.
She did say, just do the beer. Don't do the hot dogs.
God damn it.
Maybe we can compromise and it's just half a hot dog.
Honestly, I'm so stoked because even if I get a stinker wheel, at least I don't have to, I don't have to do this one.
God damn it. I'm so upset. All right. Well, next week we're watching Are We There Yet, unfortunately. You can follow us on Instagram at LatchkeySibs.
Listen to how defeated she sounds.
At LatchkeySibs@gmail.com. Check our Instagram stories so you can vote on our scores.
Check our Instagram stories so you can check out our scores.
Whatever, so who even fucking cares anymore? Sad. This fucking sucks. I hate this.
God, I wish I got fucking Paul Blart. Lord!
Yeah, I do have to say, Holland does have the two... Oh, no, technically, 27 Dresses eked out Coming to America by 1 point. I was going to say, Holland has the 2 lowest scores, but no, she has two of the three lowest scores.
God.
But maybe we can change that. Maybe Are We There Yet can be worse than basketball.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
At least worse than 27 Dresses.
Lord.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be worse than 27 Dresses, Holla. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's going to be way worse.
Okay. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye. Everybody's gonna leave their seat. They gotta lose their mind in Detroit.